Sheila, thank you so much for joining us. In a recent opinion in the Albuquerque Journal, you wrote that New Mexico was slow to report its finances. You said that New Mexico's last fiscal year comprehensive annual financial report was 342 days late?
Well, it was issued 342 days after the fiscal year end. So the state's fiscal year end was June 30, 2016, and it was issued 342 days late after that date. We did find, though, that, and we'd been watching and waiting for that report to come out, and we honestly could not find it on the website until actually 370 days after the fiscal year end. So even though it was on the auditor's statement, they said it was 342 days late, it really wasn't available on the web for 370 days late. Keep in mind that was the June 30, 2016 report. So now we've been looking for the June 30, 2017 report, and that has not been issued yet at all. So now we're more than 390 days after the fiscal year end at this point.
What's the average time that states usually report something like this?
The criteria that states have been using is set by an organization called the Government Financial Officers Association. And the Government Financial Officers Association, they recommend that the state and local governments issue their financial report at 180 days. So this is substantially later than the 180 days that other governments issue. And we find the average is a little less than 200 days.
So why so late?
We're not sure. One of the reasons might be that they're working with their auditors to try to get a what in us accountants call a, quote, clean opinion. And that would be that, you know, the auditors go in and they check the work to see, you know, if everything looks good. But in the 2016 report, which again is the last one that was issued, the auditors did issue a disclaimer opinion, which means that the state flunked its audit, that it was the auditors were not able to get enough evidence to substantiate all of the information in the financial report. So they actually gave the state, in essence, an F grade.
So does that call you to question the state's reliability to issue accurate financial information?
It definitely does bring it to a question. On the private sector, if a publicly held corporation received such an opinion, they would probably be immediately kicked off of the stock exchange, usually in loan agreements, they agree that they're going to get a clean opinion. So their loans, a private corporation's loans would be held back. And probably the IRS would start be looking at their numbers because they would be so unreliable. I know I'm a CPA, I've been a CPA for 30 years. And, you know, once in my history, you know, the firm I worked with, issued a disclaimer opinion. It's a very rare thing and a very bad thing for a government or any entity to get a disclaimer opinion.
So when that does happen and when there is late reporting, how does that impact taxpayers and what happens at the legislative level?
Our whole mission at Truth in Accounting is to make sure that citizens have understandable, reliable, and transparent government information. In order to be reliable, it has to be issued on a timely basis. So obviously, issuing the financial report so late does not provide the citizens or the legislators with the information on a timely basis. So, for example, it prohibits the legislators from looking at this this report before they do the budget. And the reason that it would be important to look at this report before you did the budget is this report is a review of, okay, we implemented a budget, that happened, what were the results of that budget? So what were the results of the fiscal year 2017 budget? You know, were we able to, you know, reach balance? Did we run a deficit? You know, how much unfunded pension liability do we have at that point in time? The legislators and the citizens don't know that because the report is not issued on a timely basis. So we think it diminishes the government elected officials, but also the citizens' ability to be knowledgeable participants in their governments.
But didn't New Mexico implement laws to report more information, you know, like pension debt? What's being left out?
What is currently being left out? Well, what was being left out in 2016, which is the last data that we have, is that they did implement what is foreign accountants call GASB 68, which in 2015, which required state and local governments to put their pension, their full pension liability on the face of their balance sheet. But they do not have to report their retiree health care liability. In the 2018 reports, they will have to do that. So in 2 years for your state, they will have to report that. So when we did our analysis and we dug through, you know, the financial report of the government, we looked at the actuarial reports. Between the pensions and the retiree health care, we found $3.6 billion of debt not being reported. Remember back to, Enron, where they had off-balance sheet liabilities. Well, this is the same thing, where the state had $3.6 billion of off-balance sheet liabilities, probably all of their retiree health care liability of $2.5 billion was not being reported, and another $1 billion of their pension debt was not being reported.
Don't most state governments have financial watchdogs that are kind of keeping track on that? Does New Mexico have something like that?
So what New Mexico has is the comprehensive annual financial report of the government, which is audited. And in your case, it's audited by an outside CPA firm called Clifton, Larson & Allen. And they review the financial report to check the, you know, viability and the accuracy of the information. Again, those auditors did give a disclaimer opinion. But as far as these unfunded and undocumented, unreported pension and retiree health care liabilities, the reason that we do what we call the financial state of New Mexico is because we could not find anybody who was looking at the government's overall financial condition, including these off-balance sheet pensions and liabilities. So here at Truth in Accounting, we went through New Mexico's and the other 49, we've done this since 2009, New Mexico and the other 49 states, and recast their numbers as if those off-balance sheet pensions and retiree health care liabilities were reported.
One of the things that gained some attention here in the state was the recent downgrade by Moody's. You mentioned that this was the second one in the last 2 years.
We did not look at the Moody's downgrade, to be honest with you, and we really don't hold too much credence in the credit ratings. One thing that people do not realize is that the bond ratings are really just a measurement of the risk of those of state bonds not being paid. They are not an assessment like most people think. Most people believe that credit ratings are an assessment of the government's overall financial condition. It is not. It is just a grade on will the bonds that we are currently issuing, what's the likelihood that they're going to be paid? And the likelihood that they're going to be paid are based upon conditions. The biggest condition is, does the rating agency believe that there's enough tax revenue coming in to pay the bonds? And keep in mind that the tax revenue, the first dollar of tax revenue goes to pay those bonds. So as long as New Mexico has tax revenue coming in, the bond ratings, they will get a decent bond rating, even though it's been downgraded. It's been downgraded to an AA2, which sounds pretty good to me. It might not be a triple A, but it's still, you know, in the A range. But that, is, again, is not an overview of the financial condition of the government. And that's honestly why a couple of years ago at Truth in Accounting, we started issuing grades for states, and New Mexico in 2016 received a D grade because they have what we call a $9,000 per taxpayer burden.
What are some of the things that you think the state can do to ensure it can provide accurate and timely financial information?
Well, we believe that, you know, number one, the state should truly balance its budget. Like 49 other states, it has a balanced budget requirement. Vermont does not have, is the only other state, only state that doesn't have a balanced budget requirement. So we believe that the state should truly balance its budget. It should not pass bills pushed on to future taxpayers. So, you know, if you have a balanced budget requirement, we believe you should live up to that balanced budget requirement. And to do that, we recommend something we call flat fact-based budgeting, which right now the state and other states pretty much do checkbook accounting. So they only include the checks that they write in the budget, and they also include the revenues, the tax revenues and other revenues. But we believe that they should include all the costs. And the cost that they're leaving out is what the compensation cost for pensions and retiree health care benefits. So they're putting in the paychecks and they're putting in the amount that they're depositing into the pension plan, but that amount doesn't include all of the benefits that are being that have been accrued and what the employees have earned the right to receive. So we believe that those should be included in the budget.
Sheila Weinberg, founder and CEO of Truth in Accounting, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.